Let's talk about all the news that's happening over at Chicago Public Schools with Nader Issa. He covers education for the Chicago Sun-Times, and he does a very good job with that. And lately, it's been nonstop breaking stories and staying on top of everything going on with CPS. Nader, thanks for calling into the show.
Thanks for having me.
So today was seemed like an eventful day. I was on the air during the news conference from Chicago Public Schools, so I didn't catch everything they said. I did follow your tweets, but what can you tell us about what they're saying about opening schools?
Yeah, so CPS is looking at sort of a phased-in return to school buildings this fall. The second quarter of the academic year starts November 9th, so a little less than a month from now. And the city wants to bring back some of the most vulnerable special education students, the ones that have the most intensive needs, students usually with autism or Down syndrome. They're in programs called special education cluster programs. And so that's who the city is looking to bring back initially, and also preschool students. They're part of that decision that is being announced today was spurred by a pretty significant drop in enrollment, the largest in the past 20 years, that CPS announced this morning. And the mayor, CPS officials, they're just worried about not being able to provide adequate learning while students are at home.
Hold that thought, because I want to ask you what that means, a drop in enrollment, because I know there are things that determines in terms of funding for next year, and it's a little more meaningful than we might believe initially. And you broke that story today for the Sun-Times, but got a second here, Nader. We'll just kind of pause for a moment, and we'll pick it up on the other side here. More with Nader Issa. He covers education with the Chicago Sun-Times. Nader Issa is with the Sun-Times covering education, and you mentioned just before we broke there that there is a stunning single-year enrollment drop, largest in over two decades. You've been reporting that for the Sun-Times. What does that actually mean, Nader? What should we make of that?
It's hard to imagine that this isn't COVID-19 related, because the past few years, CPS enrollment has been dropping significantly every year, about 10,000 students a year. This year, it's gone up to 15,000 students, that fewer students who registered this year compared to last year. And it may have some long-term effects. I mean, one sign of that is the fact that the school system is now rushing to get students back into buildings, because they've worked for years to sort of ramp up their preschool program, get more students enrolled, and a reversal of that is not something that they want to see. And this CPS CEO, Janice Jackson, explicitly mentioned that at her press conference this afternoon, that they don't want to see a backtrack in the progress the district has made in preschool enrollment. But in terms of funding, I know you mentioned that before, it's sort of going to be a wait-and-see game. The CPS funding system is still based on enrollment. Student-based budgeting is what it's called. So schools that lose enrollment the following year lose a little bit of money. But given the unprecedented circumstances with the pandemic and a process that CPS was already undertaking to review their budgeting process, there still remains a chance that they could fix the system next year so that schools don't suffer from something like this that's out of their control.
Makes sense. 8,000 fewer students, you reported, district-wide elementary schools, 6,000 fewer kids in pre-K programs. I don't know if this is showing up in the data, but some mom and dad friends that I have, they decided just to pull the plug on the pre-K and kindergarten Zoom calls because they weren't working all that well. I don't know if you've ever tried to set your pre-kindergartner in front of a Zoom call and, you know, said, go ahead and do it. I had one friend who said her kid was hiding under the desk the whole day, would not go up there, was sort of afraid of the whole thing. It's, you know, that's got to be so challenging for teachers in that environment. It's got to be so hard, because I don't think it translates as well for those younger ages.
No, it doesn't. And, I mean, even some of the older kids are having trouble with remote learning and classes not really translating well. I can't imagine what it's like trying to sit a four-year-old in front of a computer for a few hours and sort of replicate that preschool environment. Part of the reason that parents put their kids in preschool is to have that in-person interaction. They start to socialize with other kids. They have qualified, skilled teachers who are there with them all day. And so Yeah, it's really tough to replicate that, and the data doesn't show the reasons why not as many families signed up this year, but you'd have to imagine it's because there just isn't that in-person experience. Now, we'll have to see whether going back in person means that more families will come back in, because that's not necessarily the case. There could be families who didn't register because it wasn't in person, but there also could be families who didn't register because they don't want to go back, even if it is in person, because of safety reasons. And so it's the CPS thinks that this is going to be the best way forward and that they can do it safely, but we'll have to see if it really makes a difference.
You know, Nader, you cover this closely. I just hear this anecdotally, but I do hear from people who believe that their principals or their school staff are sort of looking at CPS as a little bit of, at least a factor, if not a guide, on how they will do it for their own school. And so when Chicago Public Schools makes an announcement that they will open hybrid, or when they eventually say it's time to open, I sort of feel like that might make a difference for other schools and other school districts. Do you think that's the case?
I'm not exactly sure. I mean, CPS, obviously, it's a huge district. It's the third largest in the country. It's by far the largest in the state. And so, in a way, yes, it does set a bit of an example, and CPS is what a lot of districts look to, especially districts with similar populations with a lot of students of color or students who come from low-income backgrounds. But from what I've seen so far, there's just a lot of suburban districts, a lot of private schools that are sort of doing their own thing. And I think that sort of is the case a lot, where CPS is this huge district right next door that is operating right next door. But it's sort of in a world of its own. And a lot of suburban districts, they feel they have student populations where they are able to go back safely, or they have, in terms of COVID-19, they have lower infection rates where they're able to go back safely. We do know that Chicago Department of Public Health Commissioner Allison already said this afternoon that, sort of surveying suburban school districts and private schools, that there hasn't been a significant level of infection among children. And that was sort of unexpected. And so, yeah, it's gonna be a wait and see game with how this impacts CPS.
Didn't Dr. Arwady say at the beginning, in August, I think, back in August, she said that she believes that schools could safely open at least on some model, like a hybrid model or something like that. I thought I heard her say that.
She did. And that's sort of what CPS was planning all summer. At least maybe in July is when they announced that they wanted to go back at the start of the fall, go back fully in person, or excuse me, on a hybrid plan. So 2 days a week in person, 3 days at home. And Dr. Arwady was endorsing that plan all along. And it's sort of a sign of the challenges with coming up with plans like these. One day she said, I fully endorse this, I fully support it, I wouldn't tell you it was safe if it wasn't. And then literally the next day, it might have even been later that afternoon, news broke that CPS was going to scale back its reopening plan and go fully remote. And so there's a lot of factors at play. Dr. Arwady did say that she supports this, and as a pediatrician, she worries about the impacts of kids not being in school, even aside from the COVID risks. And so, yeah, there are different things to balance. You would think that she's not going to support something she doesn't think is safe, but this has been something that she said before and then backtracked a little bit within hours in the summer. So
it's a tough thing, no doubt. You know, yesterday we had Paul Vallis on the show, former CEO of the Chicago Public Schools, and, you know, and I want to hear what you have to say about this. He's basically saying it's CTU running the show here, the teachers union. They're running the show, the mayor, the school CEO, and Dr. Arwady. They can keep coming up with plans to reopen, but the CTU is not feeling it yet, and they're pushing back big time. Today, they said it'll be $1 billion to actually cover the costs of the filtration systems or the air, circulation we need, and the other things we'll need, plexiglass, in order to open. Well, I don't know where we're going to get $1 billion from, if that's a true number. It just seems as if, does the whole year then stay remote?
Yeah, so I mean, there's a lot to unpack there. First of all, CPS, their chief operating officer, Arnie Rivera, at a press conference this afternoon, said he doesn't think that $1 billion number is anywhere close to true. He said that they've already made significant investments in preparing for the school year for a safe reopening, and that it's just not true that it's close to $1 billion. With that said, CPS sort of has to put out this image right now that they are ready for a safe reopening and that they have spent what's necessary to safely reopen. If you talk to CPS officials in private, they know that they do need more money to completely and safely reopen. Right now, they're sort of depending on infection rates to go down in the city, but everyone knows that at the federal level, there just has not been the level of investment needed for school districts around the country to reopen. And so, yes, there's no doubt that there needs to be more money, and right now it's just not there. The CTU is critical of CPS for not coming up with a plan to spend more, but the money just isn't there. It's not coming from the state level. It's not coming from federal level, so there's no money to be spent right now. As far as Paul Vallis, I mean, he's been pretty critical of the CTU in the past. I wouldn't say that the CTU is running the show. I do think that they have a pretty significant say, even if they say they're not being listened to at the bargaining table. The CTU still does have a voice, and CPS and the mayor are going to listen to public pressure. I wouldn't necessarily chalk that up as a bad thing, because if any employer, any school system, if you're not listening to your employees, if you're not listening to your teachers in this case, you're probably doing it wrong. And so, yeah, I would say that the CTU has a voice in it. I don't think they're running the show, but they certainly do have a voice. And talking to teachers on the ground, too, I mean, there are some that do want to go back. They're having trouble with remote learning. And there's a ton more who yesterday were texting me saying, we're hearing that principals are meeting with the district. We're worried what this meeting is about. We don't want to go back. We don't think it's going to be safe. And so there's a wide variety of opinions out there, and it's up to CPS to take all those into consideration.
Yeah, and good luck. I come from a family of educators in CPS and otherwise, and I am so happy I do not have their job at this moment. The number of people that, you know, the questions and concerns, and legitimately so, from all different angles on this issue, it's just such a hard thing to navigate. You know, I just feel for them.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine, because first of all, teachers want what's best for their students. Anyone who says otherwise is lying. Mm-hmm. Teachers really care about their students. They want them to succeed, and they want them to get a good education. At the same time, you sort of have to balance that with my family, like people's families, and I don't want to bring this back to my family. I don't want to go to an environment that I don't think is safe. And you see this not just with teachers, with any work environment. People don't want to go somewhere that they don't feel is safe.
Right.
Now, the stakes are higher in a school because you're talking about children's education and their well-being and their health. And so, yeah, you're right. There's just a million things to balance, and there's no easy choices for anyone.
It's a tough thing. It really is. Thanks for breaking it down for us, Nader.